there are six choices that you can actually find here in Isaiah 33 that preserve healthy spiritual sight. And that's what I want to go through. So look in your Bible at Isaiah 33:15, and let's go through these. Number one, the first part of verse 15 says, "He who walks," and that's the present direction of my life, "righteously." What does that mean? I choose. Do you want to see God every day? Do you want to be useful to Him? Do you want to please Him? Cultivate a lifestyle of practical purity. Practical purity. That I choose to abstain from things that displease God. That I choose. Look up for a second. If you love someone and you know they don't like something, then you avoid that as much as possible. Now, we're not perfect and we can't perfectly avoid anything that offends someone we love. But if we do something that offends them, we say, "Oh, I'm sorry." I always tell people, you know what the 9 most important words of any relationship are? "I was wrong. I am sorry. Please forgive me." 9 words. That's the essence of this cultivating practical purity. I search the scriptures to see what displeases God. And then I say, "Lord, I want to avoid, abstain, depart from anything that displeases you." Secondly, look back at your slides. I not only cultivate this lifestyle of practical purity, secondly, look what verse 15 continues to say, "and speaks uprightly." I make a conscious choice to cultivate a lifestyle of speech under God's control. Why? Because James says that the tongue is a fire, and I don't want to set on fire the course of nature. I don't want to be involved in anything that displeases God. I want my speech under God's control. Look at the next one. Verse 15 continues, "He who despises the gain of oppressions." What's that? I choose to cultivate a lifestyle of compassion. Now look up. Do you remember the lesson we did on fasting and praying and social compassion? What was Jesus' most frequent emotion? Compassion. How do I put on compassion? Well, Colossians chapter 3. You know what it says? "And so, as the elect of God, put on, beloved brethren, compassion." Do you know what God says compassion is? It's like my shirt. Did you know that I, before this class this morning, you know, after I got up, by the way, the first thing I did in the morning, I just had this time with the Lord and I was praying and I was surrendering and asking for His blessing. And then I went in and shaved and took a shower. And then I walked in and there were my shirts that my wonderful wife, I don't like to shop, so she picks them out. And I don't like to change my clothes. I wear the same thing every day. So she takes them away and washes and irons them. And they're right back there. And so I grabbed this shirt. Did you know this shirt didn't just jump on me? It didn't tackle me in the closet and say, "I'm coming on you." I had to take it off the hanger and put it on. Do you know what God says about compassion? Compassion is a choice that we clothe ourselves with. Do you know how we do that? We say, "Lord Jesus, I'm not compassionate by nature. I was born self-centered. I was born impatient. I was born all the ways of the flesh. But I want You, through Your work on the cross, to change me." That's the fruit of the Spirit. What's the fruit of the Spirit? It's getting the personality of Jesus Christ transplanted. You've heard of liver transplants, right? You've heard of heart transplants, right? Do you know what God offers? Personality transplants. I can have the transplanted personality of Jesus Christ the more I surrender to Him. Back to the slides. That's choosing to cultivate a lifestyle of compassion. The next one follows on that. We choose to cultivate a lifestyle of honesty. He gestures with his hands, 15 says, refusing bribes. Even if everybody else is cheating, if everyone else doesn't pay the taxes, even if everyone else, you know, cheats in school or tries to get around rules, I'm going to say no. I want honesty. I want to please the Lord. That's number four. Here's the next one. By the way, these start getting a little bit challenging. Verse 15 says, who stops his ears from hearing bloodshed? God says, choose to cultivate a lifestyle of only listening to things God calls pure. Now look up. I had a most amazing email from a woman in London, riding a subway, watching a video, and I told you about it in the Proverbs class, where she was coming home from, you know, a weekend huge concert, drugs, alcohol, sex, everything. She just was living the life. And she realized that she was in this cycle of just working for several weeks to save up enough money to go to these big concerts and to just live this raucous party life. And then she said, with her hangover and kind of feeling all dirty inside, she said that she had so many partners at the concert that you don't even remember who's who. And she said she's just sitting there and typed in hope. And Google popped up, praise the Lord, one of my messages, a little short one, on how to have hope in Christ. And she sat there for 7 minutes and listened. And at the end, I said, bow your head. And she said she bowed her head. And then I said, if you want me to pray for you, raise your hand. She said, on the subway, I raised my hand. And she said, and then I thought, oh, you know, people are watching. But then she said she kept listening and actually realized that right there in the subway, she could call in the name of the Lord. Well, to make a long story short, she wrote me 6 months later. Do you know what had happened? She really did connect with the Lord. She really got saved. And why she wrote me is she said, I just finished taking down the last poster and cover of music that I had from all those concerts, because she realized all of those things reminded her, look back at this slide, that she was listening to things that God would call impure. And she should only be listening to things God calls pure. And so she took all those and threw them away. Next slide. And she told me about it and was saying, I'm a believer. Look at number six. God says in Isaiah 33:15 that we should choose to cultivate a lifestyle of only looking at things that God calls pure. Not just listening, our music and our entertainment, but what we look at. And look what it says in verse 15, and shuts his eyes from seeing evil. Now, here, let's go in our Bibles to Psalm 101. And if you don't get anything else from this class, every person watching and listening to this, you can totally change your life if you choose what Psalm 101 says. What is Psalm 101? Psalm 101, notice what it says, the 101st Psalm, and if you have the superscript, that means it's something written before the first verse. Mine says, a Psalm of David. So you might not have that, but it's identified. That's actually part of the Hebrew text. It's actually part of the Bible. Some Bibles leave it out. You ought to buy a Bible that actually has a Psalm of David in there, because there are a lot of them, and a lot of them are a lot longer than that, and many people don't even read them, and that's why they don't print them. But you need that because it's part of the identification. So this is David, and if you read it, it's David as a young person, and he says, I will sing of mercy and justice to you, O Lord, I will sing. Verse 2, here we get into the challenge. I will behave wisely in a perfect way. Oh, when will you come to me? I will walk in my house with a perfect heart. You know what he said? When I'm all alone behind the walls of my house, I'm going to have integrity. In other words, I'm going to do the same thing inside that I do outside when everybody's watching. Now verse 3, to this sixth point we're looking at. I will set nothing wicked before my eyes. I hate the work of those who fall away. It shall not cling to me. A perverse heart will depart from me. I will not know wickedness. Wow. He keeps going. Look at verse 6. My eyes will be on the faithful of the land. Look back down at your slides. God wants us to cultivate a lifestyle of only looking at things that God calls pure.